This is Artificially Intelligent News for Monday, August 24th. I'm Mark Ellison. This program is created with artificial intelligence and fact-checked against current reporting and official sources. It was prepared Monday morning, so developing events can change after this briefing. A fast-moving wildfire is the immediate emergency in northern Nevada. The Hawk Fire burning near Reno spread through the Peavine Peak area over the weekend, forcing evacuations in and around northwest Reno and threatening neighborhoods, businesses, and critical road links. The fire began Saturday and by Sunday had grown to more than 23 square miles. The Associated Press reported that homes were destroyed as wind, dry vegetation, and difficult terrain complicated the response. Washoe County's emergency operation has directed residents in evacuation zones to leave promptly and rely on its official map for changing boundaries and road closures. For people close to the fire, the acreage number is only one measure of danger. Winds can carry embers ahead of the main fire, and safe evacuation routes can change as crews respond. That is why official instructions may change quickly. This is a volatile incident, and the most important point is practical. People in the Reno area should follow local emergency alerts rather than social media posts or outdated maps. Fire conditions can shift quickly, and officials are continuing to assess damage and containment. In Washington, the United States and Canada have moved deeper into a trade confrontation after talks collapsed. A new U.S. tariff of 50% took effect Saturday on about $20 billion in Canadian goods. The affected imports represent a limited share of Canada's overall sales to the United States, but they cover recognizable consumer and industrial products. The tariffs also apply to some goods that had been protected under the United States-Mexico-Canada agreement. Canadian Prime Minister Mark Carney has said Canada will answer dollar for dollar. A tariff is collected from importers at the border. Businesses may absorb part of that cost, pass some of it through, seek different suppliers, or renegotiate contracts. So the price effect will vary by product rather than matching the headline rate in every case. The dispute matters because the two countries' supply chains are unusually integrated. Import taxes are paid at the border by importers, and their costs can be absorbed, passed through, or reshaped through new sourcing. The eventual price effects will differ by product, but the broader concern is uncertainty for manufacturers, retailers, farmers, and border communities while the countries negotiate the future of their trade agreement. Federal authorities say they stopped an alleged ISIS-inspired plot against the New York State Capitol in Albany. The Justice Department says Jessica Bowie, 35, has been charged with attempting to provide material support to the Islamic State group. According to the criminal complaint, Bowie was arrested after taking possession of what she believed was an explosive device. Authorities allege she intended to target the Capitol and state senators. The FBI says there was no completed attack. A criminal complaint sets out the government's account of a case. It does not establish guilt, and the evidence, intent, and circumstances alleged by investigators will be tested in court. These are allegations, not findings by a jury. The case will now proceed through federal court, where prosecutors must prove the charges and Bowie has the right to contest them. State officials said there was no immediate continuing threat to the Capitol. A major legal test for social media is underway in Oakland, California. A coalition of 29 states is putting Meta on trial over allegations that Facebook and Instagram were deliberately designed in ways that drive compulsive use by children and teenagers while misleading families about the risks. California, Colorado, Kentucky, and New Jersey are leading the first phase of the federal case. The states allege violations of consumer protection and children's privacy laws. Their argument concerns not simply the amount of time young people spend online, but whether Meta's product design decisions and its safety representations created legal liability. Meta disputes the claims and says its platforms have tools, policies, and investments intended to protect young users. The proceeding is consequential beyond Meta. It will test how far courts are willing to go in assigning legal responsibility for product design in the attention economy. It also comes amid broader lawsuits against other major platforms over youth safety, data collection, and alleged addictive features. Food policy is another area where the federal government is proposing a significant change. The Food and Drug Administration has proposed requiring manufacturers to notify the agency when they determine that a food ingredient is generally recognized as safe. That designation, often called GRAS, has long allowed companies to make their own safety determinations, with voluntary notice to the FDA. The proposal would make disclosure mandatory and give the agency more visibility into ingredients entering the food supply. The change would affect what companies report to regulators. It would not make the proposal a final safety determination about every ingredient already in use. It is still a proposed rule, not a completed regulation. Companies, scientists, consumer advocates, and the public will have a chance to comment. Supporters call it a transparency measure. Critics will be watching whether the FDA has the staff and resources to review the additional information effectively. Former federal health official Anthony Fauci's lawyers have created a legal defense fund as he faces multiple federal and state inquiries connected to his work during the COVID-19 pandemic. Fauci's counsel says the fund is an independent trust intended to cover legal costs and that Fauci will not receive payments from it. His lawyers describe the investigations as unfounded. His critics have raised questions about pandemic-era decisions, records, and testimony. The fund addresses legal expenses while inquiries continue. It does not resolve the competing arguments or establish whether any allegation is supported. It is important to separate the competing claims from established outcomes. A legal defense fund is not a ruling, a charge, or evidence of wrongdoing. The various inquiries and any resulting litigation will have to be evaluated on their own records and in the appropriate forums. And in technology, the open-source artificial intelligence company Hugging Face is reportedly exploring a sale that could value it at $13 billion or more. Reuters reported that no agreement has been reached. Hugging Face is a widely used platform where developers and researchers share models, datasets, and software tools. It was valued at about $4.5 billion in a 2023 funding round. The platform helps users publish, find, and build with AI resources. A deal at the reported level would underscore how valuable AI infrastructure has become, particularly services that sit between model creators and the developers building applications. Because the company is only exploring options, listeners should treat the valuation as a reported target rather than a completed transaction. Overseas, the United States is expected to expand its pressure campaign on Iran. Treasury Secretary Scott Bessent is scheduled to announce new sanctions at 2 p.m. Eastern Time today. The administration has described the coming measures in unusually forceful terms and has said it wants to isolate Iran economically and target channels used to move money and oil. Iranian officials have warned that outside support for new sanctions would be treated as an act of war. The practical reach of sanctions depends on the details. The announcement will show which people, companies, financial networks, ships, or buyers are named and what restrictions apply to them. Before the announcement, oil markets were already responding to the prospect of tighter pressure. Reuters reported that Brent crude was trading near $93 a barrel in early Asian dealings, down about 1% after recent gains. Those were intraday futures prices, not a U.S. market close. The key questions after the Treasury announcement will be which people, companies, financial networks, ships, or buyers are designated, how broadly secondary sanctions are applied, and whether the measures change energy flows or diplomatic calculations. In Ukraine, President Volodymyr Zelensky says his government played no role in the 2022 explosions that damaged the Nord Stream gas pipelines and is cooperating with the investigation. The statement follows recent arrests of Ukrainian nationals sought in connection with the sabotage investigation. German prosecutors' allegations have created a sensitive issue for Kyiv because Germany remains one of Ukraine's most important partners. The investigation concerns an attack on major energy infrastructure, and its political consequences extend beyond the physical damage. Zelensky's statement is a public denial, not a conclusion to the German inquiry. The larger war continues to exact a heavy civilian cost. Russian missile and drone attacks on Kyiv and other Ukrainian areas have intensified this summer, while Ukraine has mounted long-range drone attacks inside Russia. Zelensky has also warned of shortages in Patriot interceptor missiles, which Ukraine uses against ballistic threats. The Nord Stream investigation remains unresolved, and a public denial from Kyiv does not settle the legal or factual questions investigators are examining. Now to the economy and market, because today is Monday. The most recent completed U.S. trading session was Friday, August 21st. These are final closing figures, not futures or intraday values. The Dow Jones Industrial Average rose 517.80 points, or 1%, to close at 53,277.01. The S&P 500 added 33.21 points, or 0.4%, to finish at 7,674.37. The Nasdaq Composite gained 113.29 points, also about 0.4%, closing at 26,180.45. The rebound eased losses from a difficult week, but the bond market remains the bigger story. Treasury announced last Wednesday that it will at least double the maximum size of certain longer-dated bond buybacks from $2 billion to $4 billion per operation, beginning September 9. A buyback means the Treasury purchases outstanding securities from market participants. The announced operations involve longer-dated nominal bonds, where rising yields have worried investors. Bond prices and yields generally move in opposite directions, so greater demand can lower yields for a time. The announcement concerns existing bonds in the market. It is intended to add support and liquidity in those operations, but it does not mean Treasury is setting long-term interest rates or ending future borrowing. The policy does not erase the government's future borrowing needs or guarantee lower mortgage rates. Investors are still weighing inflation, oil prices, federal deficits, and the heavy demand for capital from large technology companies. The 10-year Treasury yield had risen back toward 4.69% by Thursday after an initial drop, illustrating why a modest liquidity operation has not resolved the underlying debate about long-term borrowing costs. In sports, the Atlanta Braves earned a notable late-summer win over the National League Central leading Milwaukee Brewers in the Little League Classic at Williamsport, Pennsylvania. Atlanta beat Milwaukee 4-2 at historic Bowman Field, the annual Major League game staged alongside the Little League World Series. Michael Harris, the second, hit a home run, Tyler Mahle provided a strong start, and Raisel Iglesias ended the game with a double play after the Brewers challenged the call. The game counted fully in the standings despite its distinctive Little League World Series setting. The result stopped a difficult stretch for the Braves and prevented a sweep. Atlanta is now 76-55. Milwaukee remains 81-50 and still holds the stronger position in the division race. The setting was celebratory, but the result also carried real value as the regular season moves into its final weeks. On the PGA Tour, Wyndham Clark won the BMW Championship at Bellerive with an exceptional finish. Clark began the final round with a 5-shot lead, saw it disappear under pressure, and then birdied each of his last three holes to win by 3 shots over Rory McIlroy and Patrick Cantlay. Rather than simply protecting a narrowing lead, Clark's final 3 birdies restored a clear margin. It is Clark's 6th PGA Tour victory and his 3rd this season. The win moves him to 3rd in the FedEx Cup standings and sends him to the Tour Championship among the 30 players who will compete for the season title. The Tour Championship begins this week with every player starting at even par. That format makes the final event a direct competition rather than a system that gives the points leader a built-in strokes advantage. A quick results roundup from Sunday and the weekend. The Yankees beat the Blue Jays 8-3. The Cubs routed the Mariners 19-2. In the NFL preseason, the Titans came back to beat the defending Super Bowl champion Seahawks 19-16. Manchester City opened its Premier League campaign with a late 2-1 comeback over Bournemouth. And Toronto FC beat Inter Miami 2-1, despite Lionel Messi scoring late for Miami. In entertainment, Spider-Man: Brand New Day remained number one at the North American box office in its 4th weekend. Studio estimates put its weekend earnings at $39 million from 4,006 theaters. The film has now taken in more than $854.9 million domestically, according to the Associated Press, and is approaching Avengers: Endgame for 2nd place on the all-time North American chart. Final weekend totals are due today, so the figures remain estimates until then. A 4th weekend at the top is notable because box office revenue commonly drops after a film's opening surge. The result indicates continued audience demand as the release moves deeper into its theatrical run. The weekend also marked a milestone for Christopher Nolan's The Odyssey. The film became Nolan's highest-grossing movie domestically and worldwide, according to AP. It placed 3rd for the weekend with an estimated $19.5 million and had reached about $539 million in domestic ticket sales. Those results show how unusual this summer has been for theaters. A superhero release is sustaining extraordinary attendance while a large-scale original adaptation is also drawing a major audience. The business question is whether that momentum carries into a quieter fall release calendar. That is the briefing for this Monday morning. Follow Artificially Intelligent News and share this calm morning summary with one person who would value it. I'm Mark Ellison. Thanks for listening.